Hello, everyone. This is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Kelly Hampton. She's a psychic medium, angelic channel, energy healer, author and teacher. And we're mainly going to discuss her second book, 2012 and Beyond, The Truth from Archangel Michael. Her earlier book was called Into the White Light, Revelations of Archangel Michael. So you will see from that that she has quite a regular contact with Archangel Michael, but as it happens, also the Pleiadians. And she's also the originator of Star Healing Intergalactic Energy, which we will also hear about. So welcome to the program, Kelly.
Thanks so much for having me, Michael.
Well, you're very welcome. And having read your book, what I've done is made some notes to bring up questions and your answers, which I think will not only interest me, but certainly our listeners. Now, something I think everybody likes to know, and I do as well, is how did all of this start for you, and how long ago was it?
Well, I would say that my first introduction to understanding that life never ends, it only changes form, was about the age of 20 when I spoke to my mother, who had crossed over about 5 years earlier. And so for a long time, I'm in my 50s now, so it's been a process of exploring and understanding and being led and shown different things. So my first experience, I suppose, in the strictest sense, you might say I worked and I still do work as a medium. And then somewhere along 2004, Archangel Michael appeared to me, not in a physical sense where I saw him, but the white light energy, and I'm totally clairvoyant, so it makes it easy in a way to hear books, or, you know, enough teaching to become a book, or enough teaching to be introducing a new healing modality or some such thing. So that was in 2004 when he said we would work, and we did do the first book together. And then, kind of skipping ahead a little bit, about 2010 is when he downloaded 2012 and Beyond to me, not too long thereafter. So in between book one and book two, this spiritual work became my profession. It wasn't up until then, but things kept happening, and when someone does call for a consultation, Michael is still typically their guide. So that was a transition in my late 30s to 40s, and then not too long after 2012, the book, the knowledge in the book, as you mentioned, were kind enough to mention Star Healing Intergalactic Energy, a new fifth dimensional healing system for the planet, came forth in 2010, and it's all related. And so maybe we can talk a minute and a second about how they are all related. But Star Healing Intergalactic Energy is powerful molecular fifth dimensional healing from the body star, the star galaxy, and the Palladian galaxy, as I've been taught, are one and the same. Maybe Michael thought star is a little catchier name for a new healing system than Palladian. I don't know. I didn't ask.
Right.
But, and so the channeling doesn't really just, end with Michael or those on the other side. Native Americans in this period, I was taught how to make vortexes, and certain Native Americans come to me when I go outside to Mother Earth, Mother Mary, Christ figures, Christ being oneness energy. Of course, I've had many experiences with Jesus. Ashtar certainly has come through most recently in connection with the healing systems that, the healing system both for people's bodies and also now for horses. So not quite sure where my journey will end up, but if I can, you either cut me off, Mike, or I want to go back to what I know now about being a Palladian that I didn't know before, but I can certainly pause at your show. But I've learned things more recently about calling myself a Palladian, of course, than I knew probably three years ago.
Right. So, have you ever met a Palladian at all?
That's a very good question. If I have, I haven't known they are. I know Christine Day here in the United States, and maybe she has a worldwide following. She says she has Palladian genes. You know, I guess that's the best way to say it. I think in a sense I have, since I've trained certain practitioners. Michael would say, you know, you're a star seed either from the Palladian or the Herculean galaxy if you're doing this work called star healing. And so, and even if they're not practitioners, some of the people that we've helped heal, when they, if they're able and they do go through their, to their original fifth dimensional homes, some are Palladian. So I guess now that I'm thinking about it in a kind of a different context, yes, I have met other Palladians. They didn't know they were Palladians in many ways till they were taken to their original fifth dimensional home in a star healing session. They may have had other experiences that where they felt different, or they knew they were supposed to do something, but maybe didn't necessarily identify their fifth dimensional home, you know, till the... So perhaps in the healing system or a counseling session with me. But so, yes, I guess I'm meeting more all the time to answer your question.
Right. I gather that if you actually met a Pleiadian, that they wouldn't look too much different from our human looks. They could probably walk amongst us and we wouldn't be aware of it.
Well, yes, if I'm going by my own experience, you know, I would say I look like everybody else. You know? I don't have a third eye, or, you know. So I guess the answer is yes. In a little bit of reading, you probably know much about this, but I've read that typically, Palladians may have the same facial features, and so when I've had clients in workshop settings, or just people that came for healing or what have you, and they've been seers, and they see me shapeshift into Ashtar, and the one gal I remember, she was came out of her star healing session, and she was shaking her head and her eyes, you know, like people in disbelief. She looked at me, and she looked back into kind of like up above her, and looked back, and she said, "I saw you, and you look like," and I held up a picture of Ashtar, and she said, "Oh my, yes, you were that person." So I think there's some maybe facial features that can be similar. I'm not a full Palladian expert by any means. I do know, back just to go to your original question, how did this all begin? What I came to learn, Dolores Cannon is quite a an expert here, at least in the United States, has written many books about, past life regressions, people have described, you know, Dolores's work. And so, interestingly enough, I was at one of the UFO conferences where Dolores was in attendance, and I was, we were doing star healing to get that modality lifted off the ground some more. And she mentioned that most Palladians that are born to mothers, you know, they're so eager to get here, they're usually early, so that was me. I think I was 3 months early, my mother told me. Mm-hmm. And usually the vibration of a Palladian is so high that the birth mothers miscarry. And so my mother had also miscarried two or three times between the space of my brother and myself. So I didn't really know those kinds of particulars about myself until I really listened to someone else. But I said, oh my gosh, that's exactly what happened. I know I can tell your listeners, as a young girl, I had nightmarish kinds of awakenings where a big energy was coming to visit me. And I remember my mother many, many nights coming, you know, into my room and saying everything would be all right. And I couldn't really, it didn't have a face, but it didn't feel right. And I'm sure it was a Palladian council of some type checking in on me. I've also had a white owl masking me. If you or your listeners know a little bit about masking, I was about 30 then. There was a big, huge, white, magnificent owl on a cedar tree, and when I was living on a farm, with almost really glowing red eyes. It might sound a little creepy, but it's actually quite beautiful. but very Harry Potterish, almost, I guess I could say. But it was staring at me, and I didn't know what it meant at the time. Again, this was about 20 years ago, but I knew it meant something, you know. And so I still continue to learn, you know, but about who I am and what I'm here to do.
Right. Now, just keeping on the subject of the Pleiadians for a short while, I gather from one of your messages they claim to have created man in the Pleiadian galaxy. Did they tell you much more about that?
Did you say created man in the Pleiadian galaxy?
Yes.
Well, I'm not sure that it was communicated exactly that way. I mean, if it was, I don't believe it to be true. What Michael has said, that maybe this is what you're trying to get at, and that is that before mankind was created on Earth, mankind was created in a distant galaxy. And so it was on one of two galaxies, either at least this is my truth, Michael. You know, you may have other versions of truth, but either in the Palladian galaxy or the Herculean galaxy. So, and actually Herculean or Herculon, there's a little bit of teaching and teasing about Herculean being a strong planetary galaxy and like a carpet fiber. But so that's not really the birth of the origin. I hope that's clear. Mm-hmm. You know, that there's, right. that there's a God infinite source of origin. Probably the best person to speak about that matter really is Dolores Cannon when she was explaining much about the birth of the first spark of light. Mm-hmm. And I continue to, you know, people that may be listening as a channel, you know, they may find it curious, but a lot of the teaching that came through from Michael about what we're talking about 2012 and beyond, which, by the way, is decades and hundreds of years into our future. I have to reread what I channeled. You know, I'm not an eyes closed channel, but it's profound wisdom that I certainly didn't come from my creation, you know. So that's sometimes what I do. What else can I share with you?
Well, I think you've answered that bit, because I'm assuming from what you've said and my own understanding that, of course, we're not saying that human was created in the Pleiadian galaxy, but probably the first form of man. Now, I thought it was interesting that in your book, 2012 and Beyond, it also said that the Palladian galaxy existed before creation. Did they tell you how that happened?
I'm just going to ask Michael or Ashtar right now. Is that okay?
Yes, sure.
Who could come through and enlighten us, please? I would like to come through. I'm Ashtar. Some call me a commander. Others call me a friend. Some call me other names. But I would like to answer this, if I may. If I
Fantastic.
Can take this opportunity to say that in addition to what she says, I would say that your world and your vision, just you may call her a commander. She doesn't like this term, but she's a commander of 15 ships at present. She will be a commander of even more ships than that. There are many commanders that we've sent to your galaxy to help raise the vibration. You yourself, by the way, dear one, are a commander. Do you know this?
No.
He said, well, if I may take this opportunity to tell you that you've been made a commander, you started out as a captain, and you may say, but I don't know this wisdom. And I say, if I may, I'm just trying to gently share it to you with enough volume and velocity. He says, it's hard for her to slow her velocity down when I come through. But if I may continue to go on and answer your question, I would say that, you know, every molecule, every blip of energy, let's just call it a blip, not a bleep. Every molecule of energy was first created with the divine intelligence. Would you not agree with this?
Absolutely, yes.
And so every divine intelligence, I say, we were in some ways not responsible for anything, but I would say in the moment of the hierarchy of things, that certainly not all of creation could have been done in the same split second, nanosecond of a nanosecond. Do you understand this? Am I
Yes.
being clear? So there was a tiny separation that would linearly separate into 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on, if I still have your attention. So that if we use the word first, we don't really like to use the word first. But the truth of the matter is that would be a truth that I would come to appreciate myself. So in the splitting, almost like a splitting of the atom, the question becomes, is the first split the most important or the last split? Is the first split of a DNA fractured cell more important than the third? And we say absolutely not, of course, you see. So I hope I'm being clear in trying to answer what you're asking. So the fractalization of your planet, in the way I'm speaking right now, I mean fractalization of the harmonic frequency. If I begin talking in such global expressions that I'm not useful and helpful, please tell me. And I will let other counsel come through.
No, that sounds fine. And in fact, I do understand that our galaxy was created in a nanosecond.
Yes, thank you. You have such a calming influence on my energy. I appreciate that very much.
Thank you. Yes, you've answered the question.
Okay, I guess we can move on. I'm not hearing anything else right now.
Right. Now, when you're channeling like that, are you aware of what is being said?
Yes, uh-huh.
Oh, great.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It'd be disappointing if you didn't, wouldn't it?
Well, yes, it would be.
Right. Now, through the book, or in part of it, obviously there is a focus on this year and the events that we're likely to experience. You do talk of seismic eruptions to release the toxins contained in Mother Earth, which reason I have heard of before, and it also refers to it having been caused by thoughts that have been given out over our history. Is that a correct interpretation?
Yes, I would say complete, and I welcome you to my table. This is Archangel Michael, and I welcome you so very much, my friend, for spreading truth and the reminder that what the world is experiencing now is a shift in consciousness, as a gentle reminder that everyone's thoughts and actions are still affecting the vibration of your planet, so that the holes that are in the grid in certain quadrants of your planet are not holes any longer. How did the holes in the energetic quadrants get there? To answer your question, is a general reminder through mankind's actions, thoughts, or deeds that were not in the light, that were not fifth dimensional or higher. So gracefully, thankfully, the grids are closing, the holes and the gaps, if they're not a full hole, the dents that have been put in the energetic grids are mending. Hallelujah. This is sanctity upon sanctity, we would say. Are there still places in your world where there are holes? Absolutely so. If I identified them and ask everyone who was listening to project love and kindness there, all in the same second, almost before the breath would be over, that hole would be closed up. That's how powerful the vibration of love is. Mm-hmm. So if I may just do that right now, I would appreciate it. I, the Archangel, I would ask everyone to send love and kindness. If I may just take a moment of your time to ask several regions in the world right now, and then I can disappear if you like.
Please do, yes.
The region that I would like everyone to send loving energy, loving thought, blessed kindness to would be Afghanistan, in no particular order. Afghanistan is still a huge, large, gaping hole there. Pakistan, still same large, gaping hole in the let's just call it the grid for now. Then I would move across to another quadrant and say, near Singapore, same thing. You could direct your loving thoughts to Singapore. That would be appreciated. Then I would move across the waters to, Switzerland, Geneva, Switzerland, maybe known in your world as a monetary source. Much of the monetary, if vibration caused the hole, and the thinking with the monetary vibration caused the hole. Then perhaps maybe one other region, quadrant, and I would maybe skip over again, and I would say much of the same can be said for the mining and the destruction in the Alaskan wilderness. That's caused that overmining and the frequencies of greed and so on that have created that. Also in the waters themselves, the animals in the water, the overfishing and so on. There are many reasons why a grid area on Earth can sort of lose its protection. The grid system actually was and will be again and is still in parts where it's thriving and healthy, a protective system. Protective from what? Protective from interstellar interference. It was to function like a big solar shield, you might say, where energy rays that are not of the light would bounce off. And so it's important to us, all of us, that these holes are being filled. And so they are being filled. Again, I would say hallelujah. So these would be the most visible areas at this time on planet Earth that would be benefiting from the love vibration.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, this is pretty very much how I channel if someone wants personal guidance. Michael comes through, he states what he needs to state, and then he may fall silent again.
Chris, well, wonderful the way he just comes through in a split second.
Well, I've had people tell me I shapeshift into Michael, or they see flecks of light, or some people tell me my voice or my face changes, and all mm-hmm. I've heard all kinds of things. It's not an invocation. I can share this with you, Michael. It's just I don't know what it is. It's just I guess I'm connected there somehow. It's not like I'm invoking him. He's just there.
Wonderful, yes. Now, this year, obviously, because of the predictions about 21st of December, is of terrific interest to so many people. And in your book, I noticed one of the messages refers to Mother Earth being reborn or described as rebirthed. How do you think that will happen? What sort of process?
And Michael says, I would like to tell you, if I may, the process
Please.
Is going, the process itself is going to be like a big groan, a big belch, if you might say. and I mean this sort of literally and proverbially at the same time. For those that are unaware, the inner and outer magnetic forces of Mother Earth are crystalline in nature. It is not, for example, hot molten lava that I'm speaking of. It's crystalline energy that I'm speaking of, the inner and outer core. As the activation of ascension continues, it began actually, to my way of thinking, about 150 years ago, and it will continue into the future without a parallel date at the end. So the activation of these crystalline cores, when the full activation, let me separate this wisdom into several sections. First of all, tying it into the date that you mentioned, dear soul, when two objects that are vibrating come together, what usually occurs? I will tell you that sometimes a sound erupts. And so the belching that I'm indicating is actually going to be a sound that is heard all around the world. And this is something that this is one of the things that's going to occur. When I use the word belching, I mean this sort of in a literal sense. It's going to be a sound that is emitted from the belly of Mother Earth. And I would say, I would ask everyone who is listening to come to understand their mother as an organic entity, an organic energy, if they do not already. How else could the planet support life if it was not an organic entity, energy, mother? Mothering all that rises from her, you see. So I speak of Mother Earth as I might speak of you. Your system is different, but it's definitely perfect, divine, and organic as Mother Earth. So on or near about the date that you mentioned, when these two cores come coalesce, might be a better word, come together, coalesce, there's going to be a sound, and the sound is going to be heard around the world. You might liken it in your mind to like a sonic boom. It will. We feel as though it will not be long lasting. We feel as though it is not going to be revered as a fearful thing for those that are coming into the light. There are many hundreds of thousands of souls, by the way, that are now in the light, that were not in the light, even as we might say 6 months ago or 6 years ago or 16 years ago. So many, 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 many souls of all types are being called into sort of level out any fear that may be present when this noise comes about. And what is the noise signifying? The coalescing or the coming together of cosmic forces that are going to restore planet Earth back to the fifth dimensional harmonic band, if you're familiar with what I'm speaking of when I say harmonic band.
Right. Will that have some bearing on the raising of the consciousness of people?
Yes, thank you for linking that in a way that is understandable to those that are listening. That is the whole entire purpose of this. So to those, let me back up just a bit more and say fifth dimensional energy is a vibration that transmutes the love frequency without other interferences and any other emotion on Earth besides the love frequency is considered other than fifth dimensional, fourth dimensional, third dimensional, and so on. So it will be to signify that Mother Earth herself. So what does that mean? If I can give you an example, you might be saying, well, Angel, certainly this can't be true. There will still be people that will be killing and fighting and so on. And I will say that as your world from this date forward that we're speaking of, once this sound is heard, that everyone who lives on planet Earth will in that moment be restored to a fifth dimensional state in their own process. So it is true that some may come to the process slower than others, but if they take a breath on Mother Earth or they have a step on Mother Earth, it's Mother Earth herself that's providing this healing. Is this being clear? So as long as I say that the soul is breathing or standing or sitting or lying on Mother Earth, these events will occur so that everyone I proclaim in your planet will be elevated to a higher level than they were prior to the sound, if I'm being clear.
Does that mean that any soul that had no desire to move into the higher dimension would have already left the Earth, or will they leave at the same time?
Oh, this is a very interesting question, and I appreciate you asking it. It means that even the darkest of the darkest souls will be transformed, at least partially, back into light.
Right. But not against their wishes if they definitely had no desire to ascend.
I would say to you that as far as I can see, there will be no one who wishes to stay behind. It's a bit like this. Will those that will still be carrying darkness still be dark? Yes, but there'll be a lighter shade of darkness. In other words, it's not, you know, the will of the great God mind, let's just say that, the will of the great God mind is love. And so because of the sequencing of events, the likelihood that there is someone outside of the light, because of all of the surrounding people, let's say, if you can imagine, let's just use an example, 100 people that are fully ready for ascension, ascend, and there is one soul that does not want ascension, we would say that the great cosmic universal mind is going to still affect them in a way that provides them with sustainability. I hope I'm still being clear. In other words, by the mere fact of being in proximity on Mother Earth at this time, they will be predisposed to this energy. If now this is what you're asking too, if a dark soul is not able to provide themselves with this shift, they will have already left the planet. Where will they go? You may say, oh my, this is just getting too complicated. It's like chasing down the a teenager, he's saying, wondering where their whereabouts are. No, I'm not trying to confuse you and make your minds wonder that, oh my, whatever darker energy is leaving our planet has just gone somewhere else. No, they will be transmuted back into the love vibration, but they may take a different path. Is this clearer? Do you need more clarity still?
No, that's absolutely clear on that point. Thank you. Right, is Kelly coming back in now?
Yeah, I'm always kind of just waiting. Yes, I'm here.
Right. You're just recovering your breath there, I think. Right, now, another point about 2012 is that in one of Michael's messages, he said that would be the time when the New World Order would come into existence. Now, presumably, that would happen at the same time as this big belch, I'll call it. Or would it have already started and just continue through that period and then afterwards?
Yes, it's more like a continuum. Yes, it's more like a continuum. In fact, that's how I would like everyone to kind of understand what we're talking about when we say the planet is ascending. It's a continuum. I gave some general linear earthly time frames, but even that can be said to be on a continuum. So in direct response to your question, the New World Order, for those that may not even know what that symbolizes, that in many ways means that those other light forces that have been affecting your planet almost since its initial birth will be, I'm playing with you now, demoted. In yes. fact, they won't have a demotion. They will have just what you might call... we won't even have a tearful goodbye for them. We will be rejoicing and clapping and praising B.
Right. Now, a point of contention here, because I don't think every channeled message seems to agree on it, but what have you got to say about the possibility of 3 days of darkness, or is that no longer applicable?
Thank you again, dear one, for asking such enlightened questions to help raise the consciousness of everyone. We so very much appreciate what you're asking and providing on the service that you do and have done and will continue to do. The 3 days of darkness, I say your world has already had. What were the first 3 days of darkness? When mankind was interfered with. That's how I would see the 3 days of darkness. I know what you're talking about. It's written in certain texts. It's perhaps maybe you've even read a council that said I shared that at some time, but I do not agree with that. I say that the 3 days of darkness have already occurred, and then the 3 days of, well, let's say extreme brightness are what are going to occur. It's 3 days of higher light, you see.
All right, yeah. Well, I'm pleased to hear that. Now, okay, another 2012 feature here, which again other people have spoken about, is the Messiah figure revealing himself. What do you know about that one?
Well, as I have said before, and I will say again, when the planetary shifts, interstellar and the galactic shifts are taking place, there isn't going to be one Messiah that returns to your earth. There's going to be several, and there's even more to this than that. So let me get back and say that the beautiful and hallelujah type news that comes with this frequency is that the messiahs that are already in place in your world, which they are, some of them will be a rebirth of many of the old masters. New messiahs will also be coming. And when I use the word Messiah, I'm removing the context of any association with any mankind earthly religion. When I use the word Messiah, I'm talking about ascended masters, teachings of all types. I would go on to say that many of you on planet Earth are already ascended masters in your own rights. And so there will be three primary new figures in addition to the old messiahs, if we want to call them old and new. They're all one and the same. But again, let's say the old messiahs will be returning. And each of you has the spark of being divine and ascended. It is contained within you. And as the planet, let's say, 300 years from now, 200 years from now, 100 years from now, 75 years from now, 50 years from now, when three-quarters of the planet will be in some form of ascension, if not more, that means ascendedness in your cellular memory body also. So I hope I'm extending the concept to everyone that, unlike perhaps what they may have heard or read about the second coming of Christ, it's not that linear. In fact, that would be a mistruth. There are many, many messiahs coming again, several new ones, and each of you have the capacity to be a messiah, you see. Many of you will be performing miracles. That is the fifth dimensional vibration. What is the greatest miracle that maybe some think take for granted? Love. It's a miracle energy, I would say. So love and kindness, all things flow from it. It is 20 times, 30 times, 40 times more powerful than any energy created by any atomic bomb. So that's what I have to say about another coming.
Right. Now, did I hear you correctly say that the Christ would not return?
No, I don't believe I said that.
Oh, right. Okay.
I believed I was saying that there isn't only one Messiah coming. Mm-hmm. That some of the messiahs on your earth plane that were known to be ascended masters are returning. That is true. It is also true that, but the difference now is they are not going to be linked to any one kind, one religion.
Right.
And you say, well, how will I recognize them? And I would say, how do you recognize love in another person's eyes? How do you recognize love in someone's smile? How do you recognize love in the way someone is touched with love or by love? How do you recognize love within someone's heart? That's how you will recognize them.
Right. So just to recap on that then, the people who are probably tied to religion will not actually find that when Christ returns, he is returning as predicted in the Bible. He's come for everyone.
You may say it that way and be correct.
Right, that's fine. Right, so our whole planet is evolving to a point then that everyone at some stage can become a master. Is that so?
Absolutely so, yes.
Right.
that was the original plan in the human DNA before the reptilians and some of the other, the Anunnakis and some of the other light-warring factions or forces interfered. But again, this is a spiritual battle we are winning. It's really not much of a battle any longer. I just kind of use the word battle because that's what many souls still expect to say, but it's really a transmutation of love, you see? So I can soften the energy. The only battle, if there is a battle, is lightness versus darkness, love over fear. So
right.
As the fear frequency is leaving your planet, then everything will just rise up. It's been held down long enough.
Fine. Now, another point that will almost certainly be raised, I feel, by people who view these things from a point of view of there being a heaven and a hell and a God and a devil. I believe Archangel Michael said, and I agree with this personally, that there is no such thing as the devil.
Well, yes, I would state this again. There is no such thing as the devil. Let's state it together so we can raise the consciousness in the world further. There is no such thing as the devil.
Right. So equally, then, is there no such thing as hell?
Excuse me. Equally, then, there is no such thing as hell. Let's say it all together now to raise the consciousness of your planet.
Right.
Yes, there is no such thing as hell.
So where people would then contradict that and say, but I know people who have experienced hell, or they even believe they've seen the devil, this is really then a product of our own creation.
Yes, we would say this is true.
Right, okay. So we can explain why people have these beliefs, but it has nothing to do with God or his creation.
So there is, yes, there is no possible way that the God mind source could contain anything such as this. I will say that if you're to link what's going on, earlier I spoke of lightness versus darkness. I will say that the energy of fear can certainly conjure up many things that seem real. I will say that the energy, the dense energy of fear, can almost transform people, places, and things into some reality that appears to be real. I will acknowledge that there is fear. If there were no fear, then there would be no reason to transmute it, you see. There'd be no reason really for the ascension to be ascending, and so on and so forth. So I will honor if souls are wondering, well, I know there's evil. Well, evil to me appears as gray matter. Gray matter. Evil and gray matter are not the same as the devil, nor are they same as hell.
Right.
So if there are souls that are wondering, oh, I do not believe a word he's saying, she's saying, because I know I was taught, I know what is the image of Michael, my friend, on Lucifer then. What was that all about? What was that, a mistake? And I would say to you that in many ways it was a misinterpretation of truth. If it were me today and I was able to have a new model or a new image of something that many proclaim to be me normally, would I still have my sword of kindness? Absolutely so. Would I have my foot, you might say, resting on the head of a devilish type creature? Absolutely not. I would have my foot resting on Mother Earth, so her energy of love and goodness and the crystalline energy would flow up through me, and I would only have a sword in my hand to conduct the love vibration. That's really what should be the new symbol of me, if there is going to be one.
Right, thank you on that. I gather also that at some stage, I guess in the period to come after the great event, that the lost continents of Atlantis and other lost civilizations, possibly such as the Incan, Mayan, Egyptian and Roman and Ottoman, are returning. Now, is the reason for that because they never finished their evolution?
Yes, you were very enlightened in many ways. I would say yes. The answer to that is yes. They didn't finish their evolution. So everything you stated there is going to come to pass in the next 100, 200 years. What is going to come to pass? The rising of Atlantis and the fifth dimensional consciousness, that civilization consciousness that put that frequency into place. That's going to be rising. That will be renamed Syria. The consciousness over in the, you might call the Mayan or the Incan quadrant of your world will be rising. The Roman consciousness in that quadrant will be rising, the essence of it. Each one of these risings will symbolize a frequency of love, harmony, joy, and so forth, so that, again, we're going to be, you know, I'm going to use the word reconstituting again, a Mother Earth, so that the frequencies that are contained within her will always be contained within her. It will not be at all uncommon, by the way, if I can just make a leap into something else I'd like to share.
Yes.
It will be very easy for the generation after next to travel from quadrant to quadrant with a a solar backpack, if you will, on their backs if they choose to do so for the purpose of intercolonization, intercolony work of all types, all great magnificent thinkings of genome exploration, the advancements of medicine. I was speaking much about energy and gridular work, and now I would maybe like to take a moment and just continue all the goodness, the extension of what ascension means. It means that many of the illnesses in your world are going to be vaporizing because the illnesses were created by fear in the first place. So as the fear-based frequency evaporates, look no more for AIDS. Look, and this is already happening in your world, by the way. Look no more for cancer. Look no more for hypertension and diabetes and all the many of the chronic conditions that were induced and laden into your world by a fear frequency. So many, the longevity of the human species, the lifespan of humans and future generations is going to far exceed anything you could possibly imagine, and exceed it in a way where the human body has perfection. In other words, aging without disease. Yes, I said it. I'll say it again. Aging without disease. Aging without the signs of aging that your world has now. Again, the human body has aged in the way it has over the course of mankind's history. Again, for only because of only one frequency, fear. And so when fear is gone, you might as well just imagine nirvana, because that's another way of saying what's happening. So all future generations will be, in a way, you might say, smooth as a baby's bottom all the days of their life.
Right. I gather also that time travel will be possible, although, of course, a form of time travel does take place now secretly.
Well, who, Michael's just saying, who's secret? Yours or mine? I know what you're saying, but yes, time travel does exist at the moment. I think, dear one, you're asking me to comment upon between the Earth planet and other nearby planetary systems. Has it? Is it already? Yes. In fact, sometimes some would say when in a star healing system, for example, when we help someone ascend to the 33rd dimension, that's a sense of time travel, is it not? So yes. Time travel can mean many, many things to many people. It can also involve traveling to many places at one time. Is this also possible? Is this also happening? Yes. Will it be happening for souls on your Earth? Yes, if they choose it. Does it also mean that souls on your planet can travel backwards in time if they choose it? Yes. About how far away is this from becoming maybe common knowledge? About 150 years.
Right. And I think the point must be made, as per one of the messages, that astral travel is not, in fact, time traveling as such.
No way, shape, or fashion.
Right. So, in the future, there are two basic forms of travel, then. Presumably, you can travel by thought, or you can travel in some type of craft.
Well, we would agree with this. With the addition, perhaps, of a third blending of the two, I keep using this word coalescing, which means co-mingling to me.
Yes.
So there will be sort of a third system, if you will, that combines both. As astral traveling, for those that may be uninitiated, is nothing more than what we might say is traveling through debris, where the mind, where the energy, where the emotional energy body oftentimes leaves the physical human body form. And it's almost like in those instances where the emotions of the human soul, they know there's more, so they leave. I hope you're following me. I'm sort of playing. But it's like taking your little dog out for a walk, and the little dog only wants to go in your yard when the little dog could go all over the state, you see. Mm. So in a lot of times there's a lot of what we would call energetic debris in an astral traveling situation, and it's not at all the same as traveling through a current of energy that goes through the cosmos like a current of a stream, an ocean stream or a river that has a current, a fast-moving current. They're totally different experiences altogether.
Right. I believe the future period has been referred to a time when there would be a unified field. What does that mean?
Well, the unified field, it means that in all the multiple galaxies, there are at least 66 galaxies that I know of at the moment. But as you know, dear one, and many of you who are listening, galaxies are created all the time, and some galaxies die. Although very few new galaxies will be dying because the unified field will be linking them together and sustaining them. You know, unified field could be seen as just separating the word out, unity. All right, then? So the field is actually monolithic, globular glass encasement. If you want to imagine it in your mind, I'm giving a visual reference for those that want to think of it that way. It's not glass at all, of course. The unified field might be seen as clear, but it will encompass not only the planet Earth, but all of the galaxies combined. Can you imagine that? It's like mixing all the ingredients in a one giant, enormous, perfected cake.
Right. So once we've advanced through this period and into the higher dimension, what would be the purpose of our lives following that time?
Yes, if your minds are thinking, oh, well, once I've done, I know what love is, how can that keep extending? And I would say that I might give you an example of some things, maybe in the next, let's say, 50 years, and then we can extend it further if you wish. But for example, many of you already know the crystalline children. Some of you already have a little bit of initiation with the diamond children that are coming. After the diamond, they will be calling themselves the interstellars. And then after the interstellars, likely the next set of souls born and traveling to the human planet will be, they may be choosing the word intergalactic. But let's just go back to the crystalline and the diamonds. They're in the next 10 years. Some of them are here. You know, telepathically, they can create much with their mind. So what can they do? They can create, they can have objects roll across the table with just looking at them. They can hear frequencies of the, connect with the underground tunnels underneath the ocean, and they can connect with the frequencies and understand the language of the porpoises and the dolphins and so on. And they can connect with and understand the frequencies of plants and animals by the sounds they emit. So that's actually happening really already in the here and now. So if you can extend that idea another 50 years and then another 100 and then 150, well, you might say, what's the purpose then? The purpose is going to, what will it be like? It will be like living in total perfection. It's hard to imagine what that may be like, but it also encompasses not having judgment. So it's very likely that the human form itself will change. Who and how will this be possible? If I were to say to you that the eyes of the soul, that they were often used for judgment, and that future human species will not have eyes as your eyes, I hope I haven't frightened anyone, only enlightened someone. But you see, even though the judgment is being removed from the DNA system now, I'm just saying that to try to give you a glimpse into what it may be like 200 years into the future, mankind's body will not look the same. I've already indicated that the reality of extending one's life is happening now, so that you will not see, for example, let me try to go to this. You will not see the elderly with gray hair. It simply will not be a reality. There's no need for it to be a reality, I say. If you're following me, and I want to be playful, but I am being serious, that the gray hairs that the elderly have gotten from worry Worry, worry will not be a reality on your planet soon. So what would, there is a, by the way, there is a energetic component to this link, by the way, that white hair, gray hair, and I don't mean genetics from father to father, I mean thought genetics, cellular genetics, you see, just as there are the same vibratory genetics that make a lemon vibrate on the frequency of joy, you see. So, again, it's gray. We talked about gray a moment ago, about grays, gray matter and gray. Now we're on to gray hair, but they're all sort of linked. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm grouping this all together. I hope you are. If not, I'm going too fast.
Right. Okay, so what is the best thing we can do in the period between now and the end of the year?
Well, Michael's saying he's having me do it. He's saying breathe. So what I'd like to just say in breathe, what, in the moment, with all this talk of the future, some would say, this doesn't sound holy to me at all. And I would go back and say, of course we're talking about the future, but also the past, and also I must do justice to living in the now. How beautiful it is now. What is the now? The breath that connects you to your total divine beingness. So what can you do between now and then? Breathe. What can you do between now and then? Embrace someone that may have offended you. Embrace someone that may have cast an aspersion to you. Use creativity. Express joy and love. You express the higher frequencies. Nurture Mother Earth. There are many things that I could add to this list. These are just a few of them.
That's fine, Arthur. That's great. Okay, I'd like to move on now to give time for Kelly to talk about the star healing intergalactic energy.
Oh, thank you, Michael. Well, very quickly, star healing is not a silent form of healing. It's ascension energy. It was a system given to me by Archangel Michael. The source energy is Palladian. It's very powerful healing. We've facilitated some marvelous things in the human body, the removal of small cancers, and I've been taught, and I feel confident in saying that larger cancers can also be healed in this way. We use some powerful stones. We use energetic techniques. We use some sound frequency to assist with this. There's a love and a kindness ceremony in a star healing session. Normally, there are 60 minutes in length. A healing system can be given remotely to anyone around the world if they're listening, by the way, and they find it interesting, not sure how to go about it. They can visit my website. I myself or any of my practitioners that I've certified in 6 countries can facilitate this healing for them. It begins with the client intake form. We want to know what it is that, what fears, phobias, compulsions, or addictions need to be restored. We give peace and calm from the Palladian galaxy, based upon the idea that where there's peace and calm, you cannot have illness in the body. We also give 3 sacred symbols from Archangel Michael, each one of them with a definitive purpose. We also remove past lives, and the purpose of that is on a cellular level. The only reason that the only part of a past life that we molecularly keep for a person in star healing is the soul piece that had pure love. So it's a very creative form of healing. We can talk to one another. Many, many vision great things, see things, feel things. The tinctures have been known that we use to rebuild cartilage in people's bodies in a molecular way to help prevent knee replacements or disc replacements. They've also been known to purify blood and aid in healing all the blood disfigurements and diseases that there are. So it's a very exciting healing system, and it's can be given more than one time, and it's very powerful and wise, as they keep telling me, wiser than I know. We use quite a bit of sacred geometry in star healing, so I myself, I'll present words to people, and Michael would say, you know, if you want to know that we're transforming your 4th dimensional disc into a 5th dimensional beehive, that's, we explain what it's done, what the purpose is. The conch shell is used in star healing. It symbolizes the rising of Atlantis. The nautilus shell is used in star healing, and it symbolizes the open chamber nautilus shell, which symbolizes all the multi-galaxies that there are in our planetary systems.
Right. I noticed from some of the reports you get back from people who've had healing that they sometimes sense the presence of Archangel Michael during the healing. So does that mean the healing energies come through him?
Well, you're asking, I think for everyone it may be different. There are equally as many people that see light ships outside their healing center when they're doing work. Many, many people, even inside in the table, see the great seers. I'm not such a great seer. I'm a hearer. But many great visionary seers say they see light beings or people that look like elders supervising the work, so that we're, you know, being watched and doing it well and correctly. So. And, of course, Native American guides. Sometimes an individual might see an animal guide. So many, 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 many people are helping, I would guess, the system. Michael is often a regular, you know, but he's not the only person, certainly, that has come to witness and lend support to the healing system.
Right. So would you, at this stage, as you're talking about it, like to give your website address for people who want to go directly to that subject?
Yes, thanks. Thank you, Michael. It's simply www.kelly-hampton.com. We couldn't really get Kelly Hampton. Somebody else has that, so it's kelly-hampton.com. And I would like to just take a half a second here and just say that I have a remote online training program available if anyone's listening. And I do have some practitioners in the United Kingdom, a few in South Africa and other quadrants. But the training can be learned remotely. So if I'm not in a workshop live teaching the system and you have energy experience, you feel as though this is something you're drawn to do, want to do, don't let the distance frighten you away, because that's how I was able to certify these other practitioners.
Right. Now, where healing is concerned, I've had friends, and I'm sure there must be plenty others, who have a lot of faith in the energy that they can get from crystals. Have you any advice as to what would be the best ones to use and how?
Yes, in fact, we use crystals, clear quartz crystals, in star healing, and we also use it in star healing equine. And Michael would often counsel people, and I'd like to tell everybody how to use them in their own space if they never come to a star healing session. But clear quartz crystals is what Archangel Michael wants to be used in ascension. They're most like crystalline energy, crystalline frequency, and so. If anyone is listening and they want to elevate themselves, he says some of this teaching is very ancient, by the way, but crystals have been amplified in our world most recently, so they're more powerful now than they were before. So you don't have to get a larger crystal to make yourself, for example, a crystal bed. If someone is listening and they want to, you know, raise their vibration, Michael would say either sit or lay down and space out clear quartz crystals around you and make yourself a crystal bed. You can activate them further with tuning forks. That means by striking over the crystal. And he often counsels people to get crystal bowl frequency music playing in their home space, because we've talked fairly a lot about the human body, and Ascended Spaces is a new system he gave me for your home, because our homes can be dense. It's denser energy than the energy of our body. So to elevate your home space, provide yourself with clear quartz crystal bowl frequency sound playing on a regular and consistent basis to also help elevate the space you reside in. And elevate it, what? You know, of course, vibrating love is a very highly vibrating frequency, and it'll sort of dissolve or disappear some of the lower ones. So that's how crystal bowls and crystals are typically used in the work that I teach.
I believe you have a comment or two perhaps to make about rose crystals.
Oh, well, Michael, Yes, Michael, the angel has said that there are going to be someone ask, in fact, in compiling the book, the angel said, why not ask people what they want to know? So there are a few, and I did that, so there are a few questions contained in 2012 where I did ask people what they wanted to know about 2012 and beyond. It's really as much as beyond because we're already in the moment, you might say. But somebody asked, you know, are there going to be new crystals discovered? And Michael said, yes, there are. It's not only in the discovery of the crystals, but in their frequency. It's in what he calls the Hertz frequency of the crystals, and one of them is the rose crystal. So it's in the higher Hertz frequency that they will be discovered.
And presumably that means after the ascension period.
To be clear with you, he said, and not only rose quartz crystals, but there's going to be a new gem discovered called Hermes. Hermes is like a polymer resin from another planetary light system that carries quite a bit of gold frequency in it, mixed in it. It will have healing properties, almost like you might call it magic gold dust in a way. And so the rose quartz crystal is not going to be a projection that is 300 years into the future, by the way, to answer your question. The rose quartz crystal Hertz frequency elevation is already happening now in certain places like Southeast Asia. If you went to find or spoke with a Southeastern Asian soy farmer, a rice farmer, they might tell you that they've found something that's growing from the ground. They don't know exactly what it is because it's almost warm when they touch it. But that's where the newly activated rose quartz crystals are starting to grow, just like little buds, okay, out of Mother Earth. So the buds are in places already now.
Interesting, right. Now, I think Archangel Michael must be one of the most channeled higher spiritual beings of all. And your contact is certainly extremely interesting. I believe you recommend that if people feel they want help, they can call upon Michael. How would they approach that? I mean, if they're in some state of fear, what would they do to get some healing or protection?
I would say I was going to either do it. Kelly, I'm going to let Michael's come into his saying. So I welcome everyone, anyone and everyone. I say they may call me by my name or they may call me by no name, but the techniques that we've described here with the clear quartz crystal frequency, with the crystal bed, also if these techniques, these tools can be used and elevated by going out to Mother Earth, then you don't have the human structure to interfere. Many can connect with me in a way that is clearer there in Mother Earth and or by water, either on land or in water. Not just myself, but many of the angelic realms, you might say. So provide yourself, if you're asking how to do it with me or how to do it with everyone, it's pretty much the same. You want to get into a place where you may use these crystals to abide you. You want to use your breath to quiet your mind. You want to use Mother Earth to help ground you in a way that will lift you and ground you at the same time. These are suggestions. And I would also say that it takes a little bit of practice. Right now we're working on the pineal gland in the human consciousness so that everyone's pineal gland, you know, the reason some of you in your world cannot hear and see and connect themselves to Source, not that I'm Source, I'm not Source, I'm just a vehicle for Source, but I'm trying to make the point here about connectedness with the angelic realm or higher or Source, okay, let's say, is because doubt and fear and mistrust is sort of blocked over, masked over the pineal gland. So as Mother Earth, as you simply learn, live and breathe, like your children, for example, they don't have the masking of untruth that some of the older adults may have. So it's very easy for most of them to connect with me. In fact, they don't have to go through the ceremony that I've just even described, most of the souls under the age of six. They just simply close their eyes if they will, and they say, oh, he's been silly now, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, and there I am, you see? So this teaching is primarily, largely, I would say, for the denser human population that might be on the ages of 20 and upward, let's say.
Right.
So in looking, so in talking a bit to the future, then, if I was being clear, the children under the ages of 6, they need no tools, you see. So when the pineal gland is going to be fully opened again in the human DNA structure, probably in a global sense within the next 75, 80 years.
So is this the time when you're talking really of galactic beings?
Yes, I know what you mean. Yes, the answer is yes.
Okay. Now, I believe you also have given advice to people who perhaps say, what can I do to help 2012 manifest? And you've said that it would be important to imagine what the world will be like. But would you like to comment on that?
Well, I would be delighted to do so. I would be asking everyone who may have a wound from someone in the past to simply say, in their silence, in their alone time if they wish, in a group if they wish, I offer love and kindness to the person with the wounding. Was in that moment that is said out loud, the vibratory rate is greater when something is ushered out loud than in the mind vibration. So if a soul would usher that vibratory statement out loud, it's a ripple. Everything, by the way, makes a magnification. But this energy is a ripple which crosses, which goes out in a circular fashion, like a stone that's thrown in a lake, and that rippling effect that goes, you've seen, goes out in a circular in all directions. So what I would be asking is simply that each of you take a moment to say one thing, to offer love and kindness to one person that your perception was that they wounded you, so that this rippling effect just continues to be like waves, ocean waves of love. In this moment, I would say too, perhaps, if I'm given the chance, if I may teach everyone how to use my sword of love and kindness. And yes, dear one, I am calling so many light workers still to this army of love, love over fear, so that anyone who wishes to join, all they need to do truly, fully, is call me by any name they wish to call me by. I'm known by many names in many lands. Just call my name and I will answer and say, yes, I'd like to serve in the light workers army, in your army. A commitment, a verbal commitment of this type means that you've agreed to serve in my army, which means all the days of your earthly life, you intend to express love and kindness. Very simply done. Love and kindness can be a smile. Love and kindness can be a hug. You can express love and kindness through the simplest of gestures or the most elaborate. So I'm still taking applications.
Right. I love that. Fine. I think that helps on that one. People will now be able to contribute to the end times in that way. If a minute, if I may,
it's very important, as you say, for me to be given the opportunity to make sure that listeners understand that this is an act of co-creation, that we're involving the human being. We want the human evolvement. It's not as though this great malevolent Mother Earth and this great malevolent God mind are sort of coming in to take care of the baby, you see? They are and they aren't. In other words, it's very empowering, is it not, to feel as though you yourself in the Earth body are taking some action to help what's going on. And so we very much still ask for help in this way, spreading further love and kindness.
Right. Talking of Mother Earth, what can we do directly to help Mother Earth as well?
He's saying, this sounds very much like a primer, perhaps. Plant a tree. Hug a flower. Set a frog free. Let's talk a moment, if we can, about the underground tunnels and talk about the underground oceanic world, and because so much has been done to destroy that part of Mother Earth. Actually, the land is denser, of course, than the water density of your planet Earth. It's all Mother Earth to us. So to continue that example, we would say, stop harvesting. Harvesting what? Plants and marine life. There'll be ways in the future that you can get the nutrients from plant and animal and marine life without injuring another marine life. It's going to involve genome sequencing and the like. So you might, it's already happening anyway in some parts of the world. What else can you do? We would say many things for Mother Earth. Stop fluorescent lighting. Start recycling. Stop the use of nuclear anything. Stop the use of anything that in your world that some of you may come to be known as green. Start living green, being green, thinking green. Give back to the mother what you've taken from her. Many are already doing this, and many more will come to understand that as they give back to the mother will give back to them.
Right. Still talking about Mother Earth, is it necessary for Mother Earth to sort of convulse and cause earthquakes and things like that to cleanse herself?
Well, yes, dear one, he says there is some truth to that. When we first started speaking about the belch, and I got off topic a little bit, but I didn't quite fully come back around circle to understanding that a belch that's loud enough to make a sound is going to have some magnetic force, as you can imagine. So the magnetic force, when this belch occurs, is likely to be seismic in a way. Okay, there's seismic activity going on all the time. Okay, but the way that the seismic activity is likely to occur is going to be an energetic riff. Okay, and an energetic riff, if you can imagine, is going to be, if you could look at it on a chart, it's going to be an upward momentum. And when an energetic riff goes up in an upward momentum, there is going to be some shifting on Earth. What is it likely to be? Some water is going to be moving. Am I talking tidal wave? Absolutely not. Am I talking about a major earthquake? Absolutely not. Am I talking about some land masses that will shift a little? Yes, most likely so. Is this something to be fearful of? Absolutely not. I say that the ground beneath you has always moved, has it not? So the belching in relationship to the sound, that one particular energetic riff, that will probably be seen as the most, as the loudest or the largest movement of water and a little bit of seismic activity at the same time. I do not see continents or states or countries or counties being engulfed by it. That's not what I'm saying. But it probably will involve both some shifting of the water plane as well as the earth plane. Once that is over, this is what some in a biblical sense were indicating as, you know, the world coming to an end, or the 3 days preceding the days of darkness. It will not, certainly your world is not coming to an end, far from it. Only the world as you know it, I would say. But in terms of physical destruction, there is not going to be any. You see, it's just going to be a shifting. The people that might be in these coastal areas where this water is going to be shifting slightly, they will have been alerted prior to this, so they will be spared. How will they be alerted? We have many, many ways to alert souls by the time this comes to happen. Some of it will be spiritual in nature. Some of it will just be telecommunicated through the goodness of the earthly experience, you see. So this is not at all a fear-induced energy whatsoever. It's not possible to be so.
Right, fine.
I might say one other thing. We haven't really talked much about the power of the sun and the magnificence of the great central sun, the solar flares that are continuing to go off there. Are there people feeling the effects of the solar flares and ascension of the body? Yes, the solar flares have always been there. Is Mother Earth and her tides, pulling of the solar flares? Do the tides go back and do the tides come forward because of the solar flares and the solar activity? Yes, they will continue to do so. But in describing the great central sun, as it were, it would not be fair to have a conversation on everything we've touched upon and not bring in the great, great magnificence of the central sun, which is the connectedness to everything.
Right, yes. Fine. Well, if that's your last word about that, perhaps I could come back to Kelly now and we'll go towards closing the program.
Sure.
Oh, you're alive and well, Kelly.
Yeah, I've never been better.
I love it, right. That's great. Now, you have another website address. Is that one you want to give out in addition to your own?
Well, I don't think so, Michael. We had a couple, and then we blended them into one.
Right, okay then. Do you want to give your email address out, or will you ask people to go to your website for information?
Well, they can certainly email me, or they can Skype me. I live in the United States. My Skype address real quickly is kelly.a.hampton. You can add me there. Or you could email me at kelly@kelly-hampton.com. So there's a lot of Kelly Hampton things going on.
Right. I think you might be wise to repeat the Skype name again.
Okay. Well, you could simply add me as the contact is Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, period, A, like Apple, period, Hampton.
Right, good. Just in case someone didn't quite get that one.
Thank you.
I think we've really covered everything, you know. It's been brilliant to have Archangel Michael come through as well. That was totally unexpected as far as I'm concerned. You might just like to tell people briefly about your other book, because if I'm speaking correctly here, what we've been talking about is from mainly your second book, 2012 and Beyond.
Well, yes, thanks, Mike. The first book from Michael, Into the White Light, The Revelations of Archangel Michael, it is on Amazon in the UK, so people could get it there. I just released it in an e-book, which is a great thing now. That's what everybody seems to be wanting. In that first book, Michael talks about many divine spiritual principles, what goes on the other side in the kingdom of heaven. He talks about soul charts, what a register is, what a chameleon is, what a master angel is, how to pray more effectively. He looks at the Renaissance and different periods in the development of the world and talks about the spiritual teachings and the lessons of that time. And I've been blessed enough to have many, many people read it and tell me what a magnificent teaching of truth and the things that they thought they knew all along and perhaps felt they knew, but perhaps maybe mankind's religion didn't validate or said it wasn't possible. And so it gives me great pleasure to hear those things from readers and people. I know myself, when I started as a young girl in the Methodist Church and I was taught some things and didn't exactly feel right to me, and the idea that when you went to heaven, it was just done and over. And, there was a judgment day, and there isn't really a judgment day. Michael explains what it's really like. And so the idea that I was able to come to the understanding of what really happens and that life is eternal and learn so much more from his teaching, I feel really blessed and then able to share that with other people.
Wonderful. Well, you certainly shared a lot with us today, and I'm very grateful for that. It's been fantastically interesting. I'm sure you'll have a lot of contact from my listeners Thank you very much, Kelly, for coming onto the program.
Thank you, Michael, again, for all your grace in having me, and I hope you be blessed, and I hope we talk again soon.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much. Well, friend, that was yet again another interesting, to say the least, chat with someone who's very knowledgeable herself, quite clearly. Next week, I've got David Santangelo. He's a channel for the Arcturians, and his whole spiritual journey has been to realize who he truly is. And ever since he's been a child, he's had the ability to see people's essence. So he's quite a character in his own right. So thank you for being with me today. Hope you can make it next week. God bless you all. Thank you.